Good evening, it is 6 o'clock. Welcome to this meeting of Iredale District Council's Planning Committee. May I welcome members of the public, the press and fellow members. We are not expecting any fire alarms tonight, so if the alarm does go off, it is for real. The exits on the way you came in and out of the doors behind me to my right and congregate in the car park at the top. Ladies and gents, toilets are out in the corridor and water is also available in the corridor. Could everyone please make sure that their mobile phones are switched off or on silent? Thank you. We do have a number of speakers tonight. Each speaker will have 3 minutes to speak and I will give an audible warning when there are 30 seconds left. And do all members have a copy of the agenda papers? Thank you. We'll now move on to the agenda. Agenda item one is apologies for absence, please.
No apologies have been received.
Thank you. Agenda item two, minutes of the meeting held on the 14th of February 2017. I'll move those minutes. Do I have any seconded? Thank you. I'll put that to the vote then, please. That's 8 in favour and 1 abstention. Thank you. Agenda item 3 is urgent business. I have no urgent business, so we'll move on to agenda item 4, declarations of interest. Councillor Hope.
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. Item 11, I've had an email. I'll sit and say no more on that one. Item 12, I've done business with this applicant. The agricultural work. Thank you. Both non-prejudicial.
Thank you. Councillor Mrs. Frank.
Item 11, I've been emailed and lobbied on that one. Personal, not prejudicial.
Thank you. Councillor Mrs. Farnell.
Yes, item 11, personal, non-prejudicial, non-pecuniary interests. I've been lobbied and I've had a telephone call.
Thank you. Councillor Cleary.
Yes, item 11, being emailed, personal, non-prejudicial, non-pecuniary.
Thank you. Councillor Mrs. Goodrick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Item 11, I've been emailed and had a telephone call. This is personal, non-pecuniary and non-prejudicial.
Thank you. No more. Myself, again, item 11, personal, non-pecuniary. Thank you. So now move on to the schedule of items to be determined. Schedule of items to be determined by committee. Agenda item 6. It's 16/01887/73, variation of conditions. Land at corner of Chapel Road and Forkers Lane, Setrington.
Thank you, Chairman. As members will recall, this was the item that was deferred for a site inspection at the last meeting, and a site visit was carried out on Tuesday the 28th of February. I think it was a reasonably well-attended meeting, Chairman. I think there's 5 or 6 members of the committee there, so I shan't labour the point. We do have 2 speakers tonight. I think we have a parish councillor, Mr. Lamb, and the agent, Melissa Madge. For those members who couldn't make the meeting, just got 1 or 2 photographs, just to remind members that the site here is at the corner of the two roads, Chapel Road and Forkers Lane, so on a corner plot here. Members will recall on the site visit that we met over at the Village Hall car park and viewed various aspects of the village before we then actually sort of moved over the bridge which goes over the Beck. Viewed the site from here, viewed the site from back in the Scagglethorpe direction, so got quite a good appreciation for the different characters and styles of dwellings in the village as you move around the village. This is the view approaching from the Scagglethorpe direction, so you're approaching the predominantly red brick buildings in this direction here, some more modern, some ex-local authority housing, former council housing, and as you approach nearer to the corner, you just catch the first glimpse of the profile of the building as currently constructed. And as you get to the corner, members will recall that the nearest dwelling actually is a bungalow, and as built, the dwelling is about 1.3 metres further away from that bungalow than the as-approved position. And that's the boundary fence between the two. This is looking towards the front elevation, and this is the row of cottages further to the west. And this was the view from the corner where we just stood out of the way near the dead end. And again, you see the position of the building further forward than that of the adjacent run of cottages. And again, looking back towards the properties, the more modern red brick properties on the northern side of the village. And just some more photographs panning round. This was a view taken from the footpath just as you approach, having gone over the bridge from the Beck. And as you members will recall, there was a degree of screening from that position there, so the localised views only become apparent as you actually go along that footpath. This is a view taken parallel with the front wall of the adjacent cottages, and you can just see the line of the scaffolding in this area here, which shows how much further forward the pair of cottages are. And this is a view from the entrance vehicular access to the three cottages here. And members will recall that both the existing cottages and the proposed dwellings are elevated above the level of the adjacent footways, which is quite a feature of the development in the village. We did also view it from further afield, Chairman, but I haven't got any more pictures of that. Nothing more to add at this stage, Chairman. Open to speakers.
Thank you. We do have two speakers on this one. Firstly, the Parish Council, Councillor Norman Lamb, please. That's one. If you've got 3 minutes, and I'll give you the 30-second audible warning. Thank you.
Setrington Parish Council has a history over the years of trying to do its best to preserve its heritage and building style. Indeed, we went to great lengths in the past, creating a village design statement which, by its nature, involved many people in the community. It is probably true to say that no planning consent in Setrington has ever been fully endorsed at its first application. This site was no exception, having been presented to the planners on more than one occasion before finally being agreed in its approved form. A great deal of time and effort is required by everyone concerned in this process, whether they be the village people with just a simple interest in their village, or professional planners at Rydale District Council, or even members of this planning committee. The main reason for this process is to establish a set of rules and standards to which the building must conform, whether it be for its height, its position, or its appearance. It seems inconceivable to the parishioners of Setrington that once the design criteria have been agreed, someone can come along out of the blue and construct a building which does not correspond with the agreed plan, for whatever reason. We realise this is a very expensive mistake to make and a very difficult decision for you as the planning committee on which to pass judgment, but to allow retrospective permission for this construction will completely demean the whole planning process.
Thank you. Thank you. The next speaker is the agent, Melissa Madge, please.
Thank you, Chairman. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank the members of the committee for undertaking the site visit
which included a walk around the village. In my opinion, what this visit showed is the character and appearance of this village is made up of a wide variety of roof heights and window to eaves level ratios. The things that tie the character and appearance together are the building materials, random coarse stone and clay pan tiles. If this development is permitted, it will be finished with random coarse stone and clay pan tiles, and its window to eaves level ratio isn't that dissimilar to others in the village, and similarly its ridge height isn't that dissimilar to the neighbouring cottages. I think it's worth pointing out again that the neighbouring residents to this development have raised no objections. In fact, one neighbour has actually written in his support of the amended proposal, saying it's an improvement. Finally, I was asked by officers to give you a better indication of what would be involved if the application isn't successful this evening. It was suggested by the objector at the last committee meeting that this would be a simplistic operation to dismantle the building and take it down, move it and rebuild it. Having spoke to the timber frame company, their advice is that these buildings are designed to be put together, to stay together. They are not engineered to be dismantled and taken down. During this operation, which would be a major engineering operation, it's likely that a minimum of 50% of the panels would be damaged to such an extent that they cannot be salvaged for reuse. Those panels that would have to be replaced, which would include all the first floor, because obviously they've been constructed with the additional 100 millimetres on, they'd have to all be replaced anyway. Taking down the framework would take 2 to 3 weeks. There'd be another 6 to 8 weeks to have the replacement panels constructed and manufactured. Obviously the foundations would need to be taken up, dug out, new foundations laid. All the services that are in would need to be relaid and realigned. And I would remind you that...
30 seconds, please.
Thank you. Just a quick reminder that obviously if the building is to be taken down and positioned in the approved position, the rear wall of this building is on the boundary with the bungalow. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. Are there any questions for the officer? Okay, we'll move to the local member. That's Councillor Cleary, please.
Thank you, Chairman, and thank you to the Planning Department for the care and time it's taken with this, in particular the site visit fortnight ago. This is the second time around that we've listened to this. I find it extraordinary that the building has been built in the wrong spot, being a surveyor and an ex-builder. Somebody's got a very red face somewhere. I've also listened to the planning, to the parish council, and appreciate their concerns. However, the deviation from the approved plans, in my estimation, amount to two dimensions: one, the heights, and one, the break from the existing building line. The existing building line is formed, as far as I can see, by the neighbouring properties that you can see just through the hedge there. And the height, I gather, is also the ridge height of that. It's not a long terrace. If it were, say, in the middle of the village and formed the end of a much longer terrace with more commanding views, then it would be possibly more relevant. Similarly, the heights to the back of that property and along Forkers Lane are entirely random, not random, but entirely varying, so I don't think that that's possibly a problem. So, I think on balance, I am prepared to propose this for approval following the officer's recommendation. That said, it's unfortunate that there's no other action we can take against the developer or the agent, or whoever's responsible for the mistake, other than to disallow it and have it torn down. That sort of nuclear decision, in my estimation, would be so totally disproportionate to what the end effect would be. It's an unfortunate set of circumstances, but on balance I'm prepared to support the approval.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak? Councillor Mrs. Goodrick.
Thank you, Chairman. I have some sympathy with the Parish Council. And whilst I understand the agent's point, I do think that once permissions are given, they should be adhered to, and we're not here to have it changed just at will. And therefore, a revision should have come forward before the building started. And whoever made the mistake of building it in the wrong place, well, that's a matter for you. I understand the complications about altering timber-framed buildings. That's the industry I've worked in. So reluctantly, I'm going to second Councillor Cleary's acceptance of the officer's recommendation, but it should be made clear that this should not set a precedence for any future developers and developments that come forward, and they can just be changed at will, because they can't.
Thank you. Councillor Mrs. Shield.
Thank you, Chairman. I agree with something of Mrs. Goodrick's comments just now. What concerns me is that, in the first place, when they knew they had made mistakes, they did not seek to rectify them immediately. They must have found out quite quickly, because there was the movement forward as well as the extra height at the top. What worries me, although there are many other buildings there which have got quite high roofs, this one is going to be higher than the ones that are near it. And are we in future going to say, oh, well, the lower one comes along like this, it's got an even higher roof, well, you know, they're all part and parcel, so we can just pass it. I think that when measurements are given and we set them out for a particular application, then we ought to adhere to these, and so ought the people who are building the house in this case, or the houses, there are two, aren't there? It's a little worrying that the whole of the city, the village, and the houses in it have, over the years, had a sort of great deal of respect given to them, and that Setrington is often held up as one of the examples of the best built villages in North Yorkshire, and certainly within my county patch. And so I'm really quite unhappy about this in some ways, although I appreciate the huge amount of work would be needed if, in fact, you're going to try and alter it now. I think, on balance, I don't think I can support it, but I won't oppose it, and hope that in future, if there's any degree of difference in the building, any building, from what has been set initially, that it will immediately be attended to. And if it's not, if anybody else does the same thing, then I think before they get too far, then in fact we should demand that they actually keep to the original figures and height and the rest of it. So with some regret, I think I'm going to abstain, because I don't really think I can approve it, but I understand the problems that go with its demolishment. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak? Councillor Thorne.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, I have great sympathy for the Parish Council and their view and the protection of their village and the definition of what should be constructed, the principles that should be observed, and the ambition to preserve the village with styles of architecture that fit together. I'm equally concerned that buildings should comply with the conditions and the plans, but like previous speakers, I'm also concerned about the nuclear option, as described by Councillor Cleary, of tearing a building down and moving it. I think we're in a very difficult position to make a judgment on this, because there have been the plans agreed, and now that the building has appeared, which don't fit with the plan. And so I find that conflict difficult, but I would tend to come down with my fellow councillors and say, if we can somehow provision some way of regulating things before they progress too far, then you know, we have to go with this, I'm afraid. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? Council Maud, please.
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. It looks a bit gaunt at the moment as this house, but I think once it gets its stone cladding on, it'll be much more acceptable. And yeah, I agree with what's been said before. You know, I don't like to see waste, and I don't think that this is far enough out of line to require it to be knocked down and start again. So I'm going to support this one. Okay.
Thank you. Okay, it's been moved and seconded for approval, so I will put that to the vote, please. Thank you. That's 8 in favour and 1 abstention. It is approved. Thank you. Agenda items 7, 8 and 9 are all recommended for site visits. So I will take those on block unless anybody else wants to. Councillor Maud.
Okay. I would like to say that if we're having a site visit, any discussion at the moment before we've seen it will just be a waste of time. So I would support site visit for all three. Okay. Thank you.
You can see the suggested recommendations would essentially be a tour of the A170, starting at Thornton, Kirby Moorside, and then also Norton Beedlam. Thank you. But they all are sites that have either had a contentious history, or we've had already at the early stage of dealing with the applications some interesting comments in both directions, particularly at Thornton Dale, but also Norton Beedlam, Chairman, from the Highway Authority in that particular instance. So we just thought it would be helpful before making a final decision, if members wish to look at all three, then that would be the recommendation, Chairman. So we're not asking you to make any decisions tonight. I think Councillor Frank.
Councillor Mrs. Frank.
Chair. If we are going on site visits, I find it very helpful if we do a quick run through the photographs now. It would only take a few minutes, and it does give you a better sort of feeling for what you're going to look at when you go on a site visit. So just a quick run through the photographs would be helpful, I think.
Thank you, Chairman. I think this is the only site where I've got any photographs on the screen, which is of the Manor Vale. And it really does give you an idea of this is the roadway that goes through the site. If you weren't familiar with it, you've probably never seen it, but it's actually set back from the main street at the top end of the town, and you carry on through it to go to the golf course. And if you've never been there, you probably would be quite surprised at what faces you, in the sense of people have referred to a cliff face, and there is actually a cliff edge. There's also a band room, various other features. It was the old County Council depot in the main. And there is quite an extensive history, but quite a lot of that history predates some of the members on this meeting. And I think the case officer and the applicants both thought, because of the somewhat checkered history, as you probably picked up from the committee report, that it would be worthwhile looking at it again, because it's one of those sites where you think, well, what do you do with it? And it's a bit of a head scratcher. But I'm afraid this is the only one that I've got a photo of all three sites.
Okay, so I will move that agenda item 7, we have a site visit. I think, did you second that, Councillor Maud?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'll put that one to the vote. Yeah, that's unanimous, so we will have a site visit on that one. Agenda item 8 is the land east of Longwood Farm, Highfield Lane, Norton. Again, I will move that we go for a site visit on that one. Seconded, so I will put that to the vote again, please. Again, that's unanimous, thank you. And agenda item 9 is East Hill, Wilton Road, Thornton Lee Dale. Again, I will move a site visit for that one. And again, Mrs. Farnell has seconded that, so I'll put that to vote, please. And once again, that's unanimous, thank you. So we now move on to, we'll sort the date and time out at the end of the meeting.
Chairman, just while we're on that point, and obviously we usually do the site visits a fortnight from today and in a particular order. One of the parties who corresponded on the Manor Vale application was from the band room, was suggesting that members might wish to visit when the band's practicing. Well, of course, that's never during the day, so I'm afraid we'll never be able to accede to that request, but at least members will be able to see the relationship to the band room, and I will respond to the letter to that effect.
Yep. Thank you. Thank you. So we now move on to agenda item 10, which is 16/02004 Major Full. Application site is Whitethorn Farm, Marton. The proposal is for the erection of a general purpose agricultural building for storage and housing of livestock to adjoin north elevation of existing agricultural building.
Thank you, Chairman. This application is actually before you tonight because it is regarded as a major application, the floor space being marginally over the 1,000 square metre limit, being 1,042 square metres. I think if it was about half a metre less, it wouldn't have been a major application. So it's one of those that's before you because of that. The site in question is actually, although it's addressed as Marton, as you can see, that Whitethorn Farm, this is the main road going through Normanby off to Kirby Moorside. There's a small sort of lane comes down to here, and Whitethorn Farm is actually way to the west of the village, so you would never be really aware that it was there unless you'd gone all the way down there. As you see from the location plans on the committee papers, it's quite a concentrated group of farm buildings, and in that sense the position of the building, I'm just looking for the page now, on page 118, is very much forming part of that group of buildings. I do have some photographs of the site complex. This is the lane leading to the site, and as you can see, this is the complex of buildings here. So you can see it's quite an extensive run of buildings, and the actual building itself is located at the back of those group of buildings. So in terms of where the building sits, it's actually sitting where we would want it to in the group. It is one of those, Chairman, that does what we want it to. Nothing else to add. We've not had any adverse reactions locally.
Thank you. Any questions? No. Sorry, Councillor Mr. Frank.
As this is such a huge building and it's fairly flat land, is there any way we can ask for a few trees to be planted to lessen the impact of it in the general countryside? I understand that it's quite a long way away from other buildings and from the village, but I don't know whether there are any footpaths down there because I've never walked. But I mean, when there are footpaths going past and things, these massive buildings in the countryside often do look a bit of an eyesore. So if we could condition to have a few trees planted around just to lessen the impact, that would be good.
There are some public rights of ways in the vicinity of the site where you can see the complex from. If members felt that they would wish to have an additional landscaping condition and something to try and strategically soften the group rather than a belt of planting, then that might be possible.
Thank you. Anybody else? Councillor Hope.
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. Going on from that, what's the colour of the other buildings? Are they...
They're a mix.
They're a mix, yeah. Can we condition it be green or not? They do fit in better, because I know from past experience. They don't match in so badly there.
Councillor Maud.
Thank you, Chairman. I have a large agricultural building, probably under 1,000 square yards, maybe it's, but it's grey, and it fits in very well. And, you know, about probably half a mile behind it, there's a group of trees, and from one angle, it's you can't pick it out from the trees hardly, you know. It's a major job building a belt of trees, and how long is it going to take to hide the building? Could we not have an additional
Chairman,
we go to the
170? I'm not suggesting the tree belt, Chairman. I'm just suggesting some intermittent planting to try and break up the profile of what can be quite large buildings. That would be the gist of a landscaping condition. Similarly with the materials, in terms of what's specified on the forms and the plans is dark grey. If you wanted to control that, then in more detail, then really you'd need a condition saying just to agree what the BS colour of it is or whatever. And again, it's a judgment call really, Chairman, on that.
I'm quite happy with the dark grey.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak? Well, it appears we don't have it moved it or seconded, so I'll move.
With the landscaping condition.
Did you move it?
I will move it.
Okay, thank you.
Landscaping condition.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded with the landscaping condition. Very quickly, thank you. So I'll put that to the vote, please. Thank you, that's unanimous. Agenda item 11, application number 16/01165/73, variation of condition. The application site is the Quarrels, Back Lane, Marton.
Thank you, Chairman. Members will be aware that the late pages that were sent out on Friday also included 55 pages of additional correspondence from the applicant, Mr. Coote. I regret to say that one of the letters was repeated, so I do apologise for whoever was halfway through the letter before they'd realised it was a copy of the early one. But the late pages include Mr. Coote's letters of the 7th of July last year, 27th of September last year, a letter dated the 5th of January this year, which is the one that was partly repeated, a very brief letter from Reeds Rains, which contains some valuation advice, and also a copy of a letter dated the 9th of March 17, which was partly redacted because of its content. The main report also contains a 12-page letter from the applicant dated the 22nd of February 2017, which in the opinion of officers was quite comprehensive in itself, but as a result of contact from the applicant. That's why your late pages contain so much information. All of that information is available on the website, Chairman. In addition to the information with the committee report, which concentrates on what officers believe to be to the material planning considerations, there are copies of the Parish Council's observations, Chairman. Also, the report contains content from a nearby neighbour objecting to the application, and there are also copies of correspondence and emails from officers to the applicant during the processing of the application. So there's not really an awful lot to add to that, Chairman, if you've read it. This is the building in question, which actually was approved in 1993 after a history of applications seeking permission for a second dwelling on the site. At that point, the dwelling was intended to be a second agricultural workers' dwelling to the farmstead called the Gables, which is just in the background there. In fact, this is a slightly old photograph. Members will recall last year, or maybe in 2015, we approved replacement for these farm buildings here, which is now in place. The Gables farmhouse is just the other side of that. But relatively shortly after the dwelling was built, and it was the second dwelling on the site, there was then a split, and the current occupier no longer works in agriculture with the Gables. So that's the position. In planning terms, your planning policy is quite clear, Chairman. Where we receive applications to remove agricultural occupancy conditions, our plan, which is not that different from anybody else's plan, Chairman, seeks evidence to demonstrate that the dwelling no longer has or serves any purpose locally in agriculture for anybody else who could comply with that condition. And despite being advised of that requirement, the applicant, and advised it as of October last year in writing, the applicant has advised that he has no intention of advertising the property. And that's where we find ourselves, Chairman. I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you. Any questions? Councillor Mrs. Goodrick.
Thank you, Chairman. I've obviously been lobbied by this gentleman, and I've read the papers quite carefully. Looking at this, it seems to hinge around the fact that this gentleman can't get employment because he's no longer working in agriculture. So is there a halfway house? Is there an option to do that? Can we do something where he can leave the agricultural clause but he cannot work in agriculture, or what?
Well, it depends on what application we find ourselves faced with. At the moment, the application is purely one to waive the occupancy condition. And the reason this dwelling was built there was because it was for an agricultural worker in the countryside where nobody else would have got permission in the first place. And despite that, we still find ourselves, even now, with the ever-changing face of agriculture, finding ourselves with new applications for new agricultural workers' dwellings. We don't get a large amount, but nevertheless, they do come forward. And to that end, we very often find that over the years, the original conditions that led to the requirement for a particular agricultural workers' dwelling on a particular farm might have evaporated. Sometimes it's very often associated with intensive livestock or the like, and the bottom drops out of the pig market or whatever it is. But those dwellings still fulfil a need in agriculture, or are capable of fulfilling a need in agriculture by being marketed at a price that reflects that encumbrance, which is generally between a third or half of its value, dependent on the nature of the dwelling. Our policy, which is the development plan policy, requires to be tested. And very often we find that, not that we have that many that come forward, but we brought things to committee before or dealt with them under delegated powers, where that process has been gone through, and a particular individual has demonstrated that the property that they've got is no longer required locally in agriculture, and so the condition has been lifted by agreement and by issue. But put bluntly, we just simply don't know, because it just hasn't been tested. And that appears to be an impasse position. Members will probably have noted from the committee report that the applicant has made reference to another case in Normanby, which this committee dealt with in 2014. Different set of circumstances, and what was put forward in that instance was essentially what amounted to a variation of the occupancy condition by seeking permission to discharge the agricultural occupancy but replace it with a local needs occupancy, which of course the occupier immediately complied with, but was then at liberty to work in other sectors. Now, our policy doesn't require that. It was just a proposal that was put forward. But the case officer in discussions quite early doors with this application, who no longer works for us, had suggested a number of options, which included that, but that was also discounted. So there are a number of options, or at least two options, but neither have been really actively pursued, and we find ourselves in a situation where actually this, in terms of policy SP21, which is the one on the occupancy conditions in your plan strategy, requires certain steps to be done, and they just haven't been done.
Councillor Maud.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I've quite a bit of sympathy with this one, because at one time, every farm had farm workers, and even the farm that where I am, there were four on the farm. There's only me and contractors, you know, and they come from outside the village, and it's over the boundary fence is Scamston, and they employ. I used to know the people working there. I used to talk to them. I don't know who they are now at all. You know, they're complete strangers. Winchingham, it's taken over by a huge farming complex from down near Selby. And Setterington, Mr. Lamb's got, who's gone now, but he's got quite a large farm. But most of the land in Setterington is farmed by a huge farming complex. There's very little, you know, a place like we dealt with an application last month for someone who grow a lot of potatoes. Now, they will have, but, I mean, they're 20 miles away from this site, you know. They would have farm workers, but it's a difficult one, is this year. And, there may not be anyone else that needs this, but it's right next to the farmstead. Does that farm employ staff?
Councillor Maud, you might be right, but until you test the market, you don't know, and I don't know, and neither does the applicant. And that's the key issue. And our plan is virtually identical to every other rural planning authority's plan. The reason for the dwelling in the first place was because of a land-based need. That's why it is what it is. And if that exercise is carried out and it's proven that there is no demand from somebody who can comply with those conditions, then we would lift the condition. That's where we are. And so it's just inadequate. I can't think of another word in terms of a way of dealing with an application of this nature. We simply haven't got the evidence to lift what your development plan requires you to, what requires the applicant to do. And so it's contrary to the development plan.
Councillor Cleary.
Are we in debate, Chairman? I think we're probably.
I think we probably are.
I have every sympathy with the applicant. Personally and professionally, I've had to undertake marketing exercises for development purposes, and it's very frustrating. However, the process is there, and it's not been followed. The advice hasn't been. The advice has been given, and it hasn't been taken. If the process is followed, and we revisit this application at some point, so be it. But we're not there yet. I can't really support this application.
Councillor Mrs. Goodrick.
Start looking at this particular application, and I have some sympathy with the applicant. However, we do have processes that need to be followed. And looking at this, it is development outside the development limits. It has to be related to farming, otherwise we'd never have allowed it in the first place. frankly, it needs to be reconsidered as to whether we can find a compromise situation, and I would appeal to the applicant to consider that, or he has to do what the requirement is, and that's advertise the property. But, and the net result of that is I will support the officer's recommendation for refusal.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak? Okay, it's been moved. And sorry, do you want to speak?
I was just going to say I'll second Caroline's.
I think it's been moved and seconded.
It's been seconded.
Yeah. So I'll put that to the vote. Thank you. That's unanimous. It is refused. Agenda item 12, application number 16/01227/outline. The application site is land to the rear of the Forge, North Back Lane, Terrington. The proposal is for the erection of dwelling with retention of outbuilding as domestic garage stroke store. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. This application actually was one of two outline applications we received during the course of last year from the same applicant at Terrington North Back Lane, Terrington. And if members are able to turn to page 167 of their agenda papers, you will see the two application sites that were submitted at that time. And it's the left-hand one of the two on the page that you're looking at tonight that we're currently considering. The right-hand one was approved under delegated powers recently. The reason that the applications had taken a little while to come in was that they originally were pretty much a red line application, and being in the conservation area, our conservation officer wanted more information in relation to the scale and proportions of the building before agreeing to an outline application. It's perhaps unfortunate with regard to this site that we did actually receive a neighbour objection about the lack of information, but some of that was relating to matters of ground stability. I'll show you some photographs of a moment with the neighbours actually raising issues about, which was also relating to what is the rear boundary of the plot between the two. If members are actually able to just turn back to page 166, you can see the position of the plot in relation to the main village street. And the objection came from the occupiers of the dwelling immediately to the south of the rear boundary. As you can see, the distances are quite huge between the two properties. They're well in excess of 43 metres between the two, but the land does fall from north to south, so there is an issue there. And it is quite a steep drop-off at the northern end, although by my estimation of where the red line of the application site is, you can judge it against the rear wall of the school building, and it's about 2 metres behind that, and the drop-off point is some considerable distance to the south of that. So I'm pretty happy that there is no issue about stability or ground disturbance that we need to necessarily worry about. Without further ado, I'll just explain where we are. I'm actually stood in the school car park here because North Back Lane's very difficult to get far enough back from to show you any meaningful photos. But this is the building on the front of the site that would be retained, which was the old Forge building. And the plot is in this area here. So the house would be set back into this area here. That's the profile of the school, just taken from this angle. So it's quite a substantial building is the school building. This is just panning across, so this is the adjacent cottage. It's an interesting site in terms of level because the levels drop from west to east and from north to south, so the levels are all over the place. And this is further up, so I'm just coming up North Back Lane. And again, you get an impression of the descending levels as you head eastwards. This is the profile of the school. This is the adjacent back of the adjacent building in this area here, and the dwelling would sit about there. But obviously at a lower level. The adjacent plot, just for completeness, which is the one that's got approval under delegated powers, was the old workshop site. So there were no objections to that, and that's been approved under delegated powers. This is from the main village street. It's just to show you the position of the adjacent property that backs onto the site at much lower level. But as you can see, you can't see the back of the site, the site itself from there, because of the levels change and the fact that you've got a virtually entirely built-up frontage here. This is a view from a public footpath that runs from the main village street back up to North Back Lane, which is further to the east of the site, so you can just see the profile of the village school here. This is a close-up of the building to be retained, and although the building is to be retained, clearly you can see that there will be some rebuilding required of the end gable. I'm sure it's suffered being so close to the roadway here. This is the back of the very back of the site, which is where the drop-off point is. And the reason I took that is that that's the back of the site is about, or the application site is about 2 metres behind the rear wall of the school. So actually there's not really any development occurring within the edge of the slope and the drop-off, which was one of the neighbours' main concerns. So that's it, Chairman. We think it's acceptable, subject to the parameters set out in the conditions.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Councillor Mrs. Frank.
Gary, can you just explain again where the back of this building is going to go? Where you pointed, it seemed to be very close to the school.
This is the back of the plot, not the building.
Oh, right.
Sorry,
okay, so.
The back of the plot, the boundary, the rear boundary,
yeah.
Is about here, which is 4 or 5 metres, I would guess, from the actual.
From, yeah, channel. Okay.
In terms of the sighting.
Sorry, in terms of the siting on page 166, the position of the building is slightly in advance of the school. So if I go back to one of the earlier photographs, yeah, this is a bit further afield, but the building would sit in this area here in relation to the school, which is a bit further back.
Any other questions? Okay, well, we haven't the local member here, so Eric's going to take this because he's apparently used to live in Terrington.
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. Spent many happy hours up there as well. And I went to that school.
Oof, that's
not terrible. And it does date me. And there's a car park there you can find easy if you have to do a site visit. It's about time this site was tidied. I mean, it has been used for storage of farm trailers and goodness knows what. But I think I like the look of the plans they're deciding on. And I like the idea of keeping the garage on the end. That's the one you're here. I like the idea of that. I think that'll make it fit in nicely with what's proposed. And I have no problem in moving approval, as officers recommend. With the conditions they've recommended as well.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak? Councillor Mrs. Goodrick.
Thank you, Chair. I'll second Councillor Hope's proposal. I frankly don't see the problem. I think it's the right thing in the right place, and I have no problem with supporting the officer's recommendation.
Thank you. Anybody else? No. Okay, it's been moved and seconded for approval, so I'll put that to the vote, please. Thank you. That's unanimous. It is approved. Move on to agenda item 13, application number 16/01824/full. The application site is Land Off Main Street, Whitwell on the Hill, and the proposal is for the erection of two number semi-detached two-bedroom dwellings with formation of associated parking area.
Thank you, Chairman. I don't think I have any particular updates on this application, but I do have some photographs just to give members a feel for where the application site sits in relation to Whitwell Village. I think Whitwell Village, because it's bypassed by the A64, a lot of people drive past it rather than through it. It's actually a surprisingly attractive village in terms of the mix and match of different cottages and styles of building. So here you've got the A64. This is the main sort of village street as we describe it. And the application site is just situated here. It's within the village development limits, just to clarify. The report didn't specifically say that. It is in the village, but it's within the development limits. And it sits here, adjacent to a line of properties, adjacent to a cottage, and next to this sort of, I'll describe it as a back lane, really, but it is a public right-of-way, and that's something that's apparent when you visit the site. So this is a view of the site from the main village street. As you can see, there's currently a bit of a change in levels, and the levels are reduced as part of the scheme. This is the track that goes round the back to the rear, and this is the position of the nearest cottage. So that's just looking squarer on. So this track is still the track. Just a bit more detail there. This is looking back from the rear of the site back towards the cottage, and you immediately start to get a feel for the sort of cottages that are in the rest of the street. So in part you get some quite low profile properties with low eaves, and then adjacent you've got some sort of slightly more modern properties with higher eaves and higher apexes and steeper roof pitches. This particular developer, I believe, was the same developer who developed these cottages here. These are actually slightly bigger than the ones that are currently being proposed, which were reduced in scale as part of the amended plans that you've seen on the agenda papers. But again, you get a feel for the slight difference in range in change in eaves and ridge heights. And this is, again, a view back from that track as you carry on further down away from the village. So you get a bit of a mix and match of styles of cottages here. This is looking back down the main street towards the cottage, and gives you an impression of the levels, which are lowered down. So that reduces the impact of the new dwellings on the adjacent cottage. And also, as I say, it's been reduced in height and moved further away from that cottage. These are just other properties in the street to give you a feel for the sort of detailing that we're getting. And again, another few views up and down the village street. Again, this is the view slightly at more of an angle. You see the two newer ones that I just showed you the back of. Again, these are slightly, in fact, higher eaves and apex heights. The proposed cottage is slightly lower than that one and smaller. But again, then right next to something really quite quirky and small as you go down the street. So there's a real mix and match of styles. As I say, Chairman, the officer's position is that we sort of appreciate the parish's comments, which I think they made a suggestion that they prefer to see one dwelling on the site, perhaps a larger dwelling. Mention of a bungalow was also made. I think we didn't really particularly agree with the assessment that a bungalow would be appropriate on the plot. The applicant's particular position is that I think they think there is local demand for small two-bedroom rented property, Chairman, and a local need for that, Chairman. So wish us to consider this amended scheme before you tonight. And on balance, Chairman, we think the scheme as amended is acceptable.
Thank you. We do have a speaker on this one. It's the urgent Richard Webster. No, you're not going to speak. Okay, thank you. Any questions for the officer? Councillor Mrs. Shields.
It's a question, Chairman, in on page 186, I think. Prior to the commencement of the development and so on, a 1 metre square free standing panel of the external walling to be used. Is that something that you do normally? Does it happen, or is it just in this particular case, to make sure, presumably to make sure it's going to blend in with the other buildings there. But do you do it normally?
Use it quite a lot, particularly in an area where there's stone. And it's if we simply approve, well, also brick as well, but if we simply approve a stone and then leave it to be decided sometimes by the builder as to how that stone then is finished or mortared up, it can have a dramatic impact on what the wall actually looks like. And so if you're ever up in the planning department, you'll see Charlotte Cornforth has done a before and after on about a third panel. It started off with a very pale stone with a very dark brown mortar, which couldn't look more wrong because it wasn't mimicking a lime mortar. And so the sample panel condition is regularly used to ensure that, having agreed the material, that we then get the panel to look right so that the whole of the facade looks right.
Thank you. Any other questions? Councillor Mrs. Frank.
Gary, can I just ask what's at the other side of the back lane? It says something, I can't quite read it on here, it's a bit blurred, but it says something about Rose Cottage. Is there a cottage there, or is it an amenity for Rose Cottage? I can't see what it says at the top bit, and then it says Rose Cottage on page 191. It's kind of at the other side of Back Lane, and then there's the cricket ground in between this site and the cricket ground. What is it, this bit here? It says Rose Cottage. But there isn't a building on there.
No, I think that's just is it a planned name of a house that's not where the house is. There's nothing there.
So there's nothing there. That's just a piece of open ground. Okay. I just thought it might impact on a cottage if there was a cottage.
Say that. The naming is obviously in the plan plotting become divorced from the building that it relates to. And there's another one that says the old coach house, which I know is on the opposite side of the road, but it's not there. Further over where it says coach cricket ground, further above that. For some reason, the ordnance survey numbering is divorced from where it sits. I don't know why. Don't know why.
Thank you. Any more questions? No. Okay, we'll go to the local member, Councillor Mrs. Goodrick.
Thank you, Chairman. I've looked at this. I have some sympathy with the camp parish council requesting a single dwelling. But having said that, we are desperately short of small units for people to rent. And in fact, I looked at Whitwell on the hill for my own daughter when we were looking for somewhere for her to live. So in actual fact, I don't really have any problem with this. So I'm happy to support the officer's recommendation for approval.
Thank you. Councillor Cleary.
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, I completely endorse Councillor Goodrick's feelings. It's a good use of a plot in a rural village. It's bringing much needed smaller properties. It's got amenity and parking. I think it ticks many of the boxes that we're looking for, so I'm happy to second that.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak? Councillor Mrs. Frank.
I'm just glad to see the solar panels on the south elevation. I think all new builds should have solar panels on the south elevation of their houses.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak? No? Okay, it's been moved and seconded for approval, so I'll put that to the vote, please. Thank you. That's unanimous. It is approved. Okay, we now move on to agenda item 14, application number 16/01854. Application site is Sousier Cottage, 2 Staxton Farmyard, Main Street, Staxton, and the proposal is for the installation of a log burning stove with external flue to east elevation roof slope.
Thank you, Chairman. As you'll see, this application is also, in essence, retrospective, and it relates to a listed building in Staxton, and that's it. It's on the on slope lane elevation. It couldn't be more visible in the public domain. Nice and shiny, 1.9 metres high, I think it is. The reason it's that high is it's low on the roof, and the reason it's there is because internally the applicant has put in a wood-burning stove at the back wall and taken the flue straight out the roof. As I say, it's not good from any angle, really. Even in the snow, you can see it. There it is. so it's visible just about from everywhere. We really hadn't got anywhere to go with it, Chairman. So hence the recommendation for refusal. And if members are minded to accept the recommendation, then clearly we need to enforce to secure the removal and the restoration of the roof, which actually isn't an awful lot of restoration to the roof to go. It's just a filling in job with the tiles. But that's it, Chairman. These are views further back up the lane. I know it's in the snow, but you can't really see it too much from there. It's unfortunate there aren't that many listed buildings in Staxton. They managed to choose one that copped for it. Nothing more to add, really.
Okay, thank you. Any questions? No question. Councillor Mrs. Goodrick.
Is there no chance we can mitigate it, that it could be dealt with in
the side, which I haven't
Councillor Mrs. Frank.
Is there any way it could go on the far, rather than at the other side, could it go on the far end, sort of on the gable end bit, so that the chimney stack could come out at the top of the gable? I didn't mean the brick one, I meant actually on the end of this stone building, so that it's just a small chimney at the side of the brick gable end, which would look better.
Councillor Hope.
Yeah, Chairman, I think it's appropriately named as the cottage. Could be kept pigs here, but it doesn't look very good on the listed building. I have no problem in recommending officer's recommendation.
Councillor Mrs. Farnell, did you have a question?
Question. Can I just ask, being slightly naive, can you not get flues in anything other than stainless steel? Can you get them in other materials, metals, fabrics? Can they be? I'm going to say I thought we had black flues before that as well.
stainless steel,
they're
almost impossible.
Yes. Yes.
So yes, you can get
matte black ones. Yeah.
Councillor Thornton.
Thank you, Chair. I hesitate to offer another possibility of resolving this without tearing it down. But in the background, there's a chimney from the ridge of the building. Is there any possibility of diverting the stainless steel on the inside of the listed building, bringing it out on the ridge and forming some sort of chimney on the ridge?
A barn conversion agricultural building point of view, we try and avoid chimneys because they're a very residential domestic sort of feature. And so like a lot of authorities, in terms of any advice we would give on a barn conversion, we would very often suggest the flue solution. But in this instance, you've got a flue that's relating to a listed building, so you've got that added extra requirement to decide whether or not something retains and preserves or enhances the character of the listed building. It's particularly fortunate that they've used a bright, shiny stainless steel and put it on the most open-facing aspect of the listed building, which is the public view. But that building is the width of a piggery. There isn't an alternative position for the stove in the room because the other wall is open glazed. So the wood-burning fuel, the stove, would be next to a window, which obviously you wouldn't put it next to a window.
Do you want to come
back? Thank you. Yeah, if I could. I was suggesting leave the stove where it is and divert the flue to the ridge.
Councillor Cleary.
Thank you, Chairman. A question again. Presumably it's the appearance of the shiny appearance of it that's the problem. Is that what we're looking at? Am I being too simple by suggesting that it's powder coated black? It's a simple. I'm trying to find a solution. Powder coating. It's a stainless steel, is it not? Powder coat stainless steel.
Do we know if the conservation officer would be happy with a black flue?
Sorry, South East Cottage, Grade 2 listed building located on the corner with the main street and a narrow side lane. The building forms the boundary along the side lane and is highly visible. This is clearly a modern intervention in a former agricultural building. The long and low nature of the building is complemented by its location alongside a narrow street which funnels the view. The flue is a highly visible, strong, modern vertical element that jars with the traditional long and low form of the building. So she's picking up on the fact that it's a traditional, narrow, long, low building. Here you've got something which is obviously a modern, in her view, unacceptable feature. I mean, we can go back to them if you want. If you'd rather us go back and say, look, members wish to explore an alternative finish, if you're happy with the flue in that position, that's another matter. If you're not happy with the flue in that position, I think the best thing to do is refuse it and leave them to then decide how to respond to that refusal.
Councillor Mrs Goodrick, do you want to...
Only that I don't know whether I am happy with the flue where it is. I can't make my mind up. It's very shiny and very in your face. But, I've got to look at it, and as one of my colleagues has picked up, there's a satellite dish there. You know, I mean, how much more modern intrusion are we going to have? And at the end of the day, you've got to heat your home. Oh. what I'm trying to do is, look, it's a low building and they need heating.
Sorry, there are duties on planning authorities to make sure that statutory listed buildings are altered and amended and looked after in a sensitive way. And we have a lot of listed buildings. It's sad that in Staxton there aren't that many. This one's in a public view. I think the minute it went up, we had a phone call, as you can imagine, saying what the heck's going on. And you know, we found it was a sort of bit of a fait accompli, really. It was there. It was a sort of take it or leave it. Well, we'll make an application then. And I can't blame people for making an application. I think it was partly in ignorance, perhaps, but ignorance is no defence in planning law. And we're faced with something that if we'd had an application for it, we wouldn't have recommended it for approval. You know, we would have refused this application. That's where we would have been, Chairman. The reason it's before you tonight is not because of the decision so much as the recommendation for subsequent action to remove it, because that's why we need the committee approval. But if members didn't agree with that recommendation, then fine. That's your judgment as a planning committee. But as I say, I always say it's the approvals we worry about, because people look at them and say, well, you approve that one. Where do you go?
I'm sort of tempted to go back to defer it and maybe go back to the conservation officer and see if she'd be happy with the black one. And
I can tell you no, Chairman. What the answer to that will be, she'll say no.
It's on and then we need to decide what about the satellite dish and anything else you can see there, really. So it's Council, Mrs. Friend.
I have to say, I lived in a listed building for a long time. In the pub that I had was a listed building. And I had a really similar situation to this, because the environmental health people insisted that we had fans and extraction from the kitchen. And for that, they needed an even bigger pipe than that, a massive pipe. And for it to be on the listed building, and for it to be hidden on the listed building, they did eventually decide that it could be taken out of the ridge and a chimney built round it. And that's the way it is, and it's there now. If anybody wants to go and see it, that's the way it was done. It was a massive pipe. It was more like, 14-inch pipe. That's probably about 6 or 7 or whatever. So it was a massive pipe from our extraction. And they took it out, and we had to move all the fryers and everything in the kitchen, put them round on the other wall, take the extraction up so that it went up through the middle of the ridge, and they built a chimney around it, and that's the way they dealt with it. And it was a listed building. So that's maybe a solution for them. But I think we should refuse this, and if they want to deal with it like that, put in an application for something like that.
I'm in your hands.
Okay, thank you. Are you moving officer recommendation?
Yes.
Thank you. Anybody wishing to second? Okay, well, I'll... Sorry, Councillor Hope. Thank you. Okay, it's been moved and seconded for officer recommendation of refusal, so I'll put that to the vote. Thank you. That's 7 in favour and 2 abstentions.
The second part of the recommendation is to authorise the action to secure the removal of the flue and the restoration of the roof, Chairman. And it may be that the applicant responds to that.
Yeah.
I think at this stage we require the authority, Chairman.
Okay. I'll move enforcement action, and you're seconding it, Councillor Frank. Okay. So I'll put that to the vote, please. Again, that's 7 in favour and 2 abstentions. Thank you. Now move on to agenda item 15, application number 16/02013/house. The application site is Pavilion House, the terrace, Oswell Kirk, and the proposal is the erection of replacement front porch and removal of front entrance steps.
Thank you, Chairman. I don't think I have any updates on this, Chairman. It's, on the face of it, a relatively modest addition to the property, but nevertheless we have had some objections to it, and that's why it's before you tonight. For those of you not familiar with Oswell Kirk, the location plan is shown on page 210, and this particular property is located on the northern side of the terrace in the village. And the terrace itself is located to the south of Oswell Kirk Bank, so I'm sure most of you probably recall Oswell Kirk Bank. This is a view looking across or down the terrace, which itself is effectively a dead end, and what you have here is the existing porch, and it's that that is proposed to be enlarged slightly. Originally there were some steps going up to that porch which have been removed and the stonework blocked in, and you probably picked up from the drawings on the agenda papers on page 211 that originally the steps that went up to that, you can appreciate the steepness of them and the shallowness of the step. You would have probably gone up on tiptoes, I would imagine, on the basis of the drawing. I can't imagine you had a full foot down on the steps. So this is just moving slightly across, and as you see, this is the area where the wall was that's been rebuilt, and the porch would come in this area here with side door. The new steps come in at the far end of the plot, so they're far more sensible to get up from the adjacent roadway. And this is a view looking back in the opposite direction, so you can imagine the porch will project a little further forward than it is at the moment. But although the terrace has got a line of buildings, they're all slightly at different levels, so I don't believe that this porch is going to project unduly into the street scene, even though it's close to the front boundary. And this is a view of other steps in the vicinity, just to give you an idea of how people get up to the floor levels of the cottages. That's it, Chairman. Really? I think we have a speaker.
Yes, we do. The applicant, Mr. Michael Ahern. Okay, thank you. Do we have any questions for the officer? No? Okay. Well, it used to be my patch to this, so I can't see any problem with this whatsoever. As Gary said, the steps were rather steep, and if you've got big feet, you're going to struggle to get all of your feet on those steps. So it does... It will come out a little bit further, but I have no problem with that. I think he's worked with the officer to compromise on that a little, so I'll move approval. Councillor Mrs. Farnell.
Thank you. Yeah, I used to live in the parish of Oswell Kirk and used to go up and down here quite a bit as a child, and there are different variations of people getting up the steps and into the properties. I see no problem with the enlargement of that porch, and I think it's a sensible way forward, and I'd like to second the recommendation.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak? No. Okay, it's been moved and seconded for approval, so I'll put that to the vote, please. Thank you. That's unanimous. It is approved. Agenda item 16 has been withdrawn. So, agenda item 17, any other business? We need to decide the site visits, which will be on the 28th of March. Shall we say 10 o'clock, because we have three to get through? That's a good question.
Well, unless there's a preference, I would suggest we either start at Norton, Beedlam, and come back through Kirby and Thornton, or start at Thornton and end up at Norton, Beedlam. To officers, it doesn't matter an awful lot. I think members weigh well, because there is some mileage on it, even if it's pretty much straight up and down the A170, I think we're looking at a morning for all three. That's a guesstimate, Chairman. So I think a 10 o'clock start would assist.
Yeah. Thornton Liddell, would that be easier for everybody? Thank you. I'm not fussed either way. We'll try and find an exact map for you, Eric. Councillor, Mrs. Goodrick.
Mr. Chairman, if I can give my apologies for that, I have a prior commitment that day. Thank you.
What do you have at 10 o'clock? 18 is a list of applications determined under delegated powers, and there's an update on appeal decisions on agenda item 19. I now declare this meeting closed. Thank you.